Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Silly old ram thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes. Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jerry Kirk. This is the Gathering Offering. Actually, I said morning. It's afternoon. In pagan time, this is the sixth month, 17th day of 2010. Some people would call it June 17th. In the Lord's time, this is the 111th Jubilee, the third week, the fifth year, the fourth month, and the 14th day. This is also the 24th of 26 weeks of a offering. The program is called the Gathering Offering. And I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. At the beginning of every one of these offerings, I have pointed out for the first 23 weeks that there is a responsibility and a duty that must occur. Today, I am going to allow or request or beseech or beg each of you to take the next 45 seconds and you take care of your responsibility and your duty. So now for the next 45 seconds, I'm not going to speak. You're going to think there's dead air. No, you're going to create the thoughts. Thank you. With eyes and ears, they have taken this opportunity and begun understanding a little bit that it is their responsibility to always offer praise and blessing to the Father in heaven and His only begotten Son. I thank you, and I wonder what the people in the station and stuff said. Hey, we got dead air time, 45 seconds. Hope they didn't get too upset. I would like to point out a little bit of a coincidence that I wish I had planned it out, but I didn't plan it out. When this gathering offering began, in pagan time, it started on the 7th day, January 7th. Then it moved forward through the 14th, 21st, and 28th day. The final 4 weeks of this offering are actually in the Lord's time on His 7th day, His 14th day, and then next week will be the 21st, and the following last week will be on His 28th day of His particular month. I found that to be rather interesting. I was not aware of that until actually about 2 weeks ago. And I said, wow, that's pretty interesting to me. Now, the items that I really want to go over today are contained in Chapter 6, and that is called, the title of Chapter 6 is Man's Laws, Are They Valid? Are They Antichrist? The title of Part C is Here is Wisdom, Let Him That Hath Understanding. I did not put in the paperwork that is from the book of Revelations, chapter 13, verse 18. I figured some people could look that up. So we're going to see today if we can find a little bit of wisdom and some understanding. I start off in this, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. That is from the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 10, in part. So we're going to see, hopefully today, if we can touch base on some wisdom and some understanding. Now, in the course of my life, rarely have I run into any individual which says to me, "Hey, Jerry, you know what? I'm really stupid. I really don't have any wisdom. I don't have any understanding. And, you know, I'm just a real dummy." I really don't run into people like that. The majority of people seem to me that they have great opinions. I mean, they actually know something on virtually every subject. Rarely do I run into somebody, especially when we're talking about the scriptures, that says, "I don't know anything." But they have these opinions. And these opinions are what the individual has as perceptions. Perceptions are not necessarily fact. Perceptions are, in most cases, exclusive of fact. They're just what someone has been indoctrinated into. They've heard it a dozen times or three dozen times, so therefore it becomes their reality. Have anybody ever had that experience and or understood that? Golly, that guy's full of opinions, but his opinions aren't necessarily factual, they're perceptions. Well, when you're in Babylon, people continuously, they talk, and they're just repeating things, and they don't make sense. And in many cases, people actually, when they make a statement, when they give the explanation, their explanation is exactly the opposite of what they said. They don't even realize that they're doing this. The Babel is called confusion of language and voices, tumultuous, a hubbub, clamor, jargon, discord. Is that what we hear today in our society? I listen to national news, and I hear this all the time. They fill the air full of mistruths or partial truths. When I listen in on many, many of the alternative media radio network, and I'm not just talking about First Amendment, I'm talking about RBN, Genesis, MicroEffect, American Voice Radio, etc. People call in and they have a perception of something. They haven't bothered to stop and look up the facts, but they're repeating what they believe. They're repeating their opinion. And most of them will go right back to the Constitution of the United States to see here, it's freedom of speech. Well, I didn't read in there freedom to speak dummy language, to be a dummy. And unfortunately, the majority of people, although they're very concerned and they've got this attitude that we got to do something, they're still talking dummy talk. Because they haven't done their facts and research and due diligence. And I rail about that at times when I hear somebody say something exactly the opposite of fact. So most people really don't care about whether I rail or get upset or anything like that. But I wonder if that ever happens to you when you actually know something. And you hear somebody else on the radio say something that absolutely you've checked it out and it's not true, but they're still saying it. Kind of makes me wonder whether or not this freedom of speech was really understood. Was it really correct? All right, we're going to get into something that I've heard for years and years from preachers and pontificators that they actually know something. And they go to the book of Daniel, chapter 12, and they look down at the verses 11 and 12, and they say, well, gee, see that talks about that there's 1,290 days, and then there's 1,335 days. And when you add those numbers together, that's the 7 years of tribulation. And they absolutely believe that. Well, did you ever stop to take and, you know, do some multiplication and adding and dividing and things of that nature? When you take those two numbers and you divide them by 364 days, the proper number of days in a year, you get 7.21 years. Now, if you divide it by the goofy 365 days in a year, you get 7.19 years. So I guess the preachers just figured no one will sit down and add the two numbers together and divide them and see that they don't turn out to be 7 years. And then they tell you, well, you know, the first 3.5 years, that's the beginning of tribulation. It's not real bad, but then the last 3.5 years, it's going to get really bad. Did you ever possibly go back into the book of Revelation and read read about the church, the certain church, and it says, and some of you shall be cast into prison for 10 days? Wow! 10 days of tribulation, it says. Now, how do the preachers come up with 7 years when right there in the book of Revelation it tells you there's at least 10 days? It didn't say in the book of Revelation there's only 10 days or 10 years. But, you know, preachers have created perception. So what I'm going to try to do is bring forward with some sort of history for individuals the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. Okay, in verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up. Okay. Two things occur in this first beginning phrase of the sentence. Number one, the daily sacrifice is taken away and an abomination is set up. They both occur at the exact same time and from the time. Now, two things happen. Now, the abomination is just set up. It's not in place. But people say, see, it's there. No, it was the process of setting it up. It was a process that took time. And quite frankly, I wasn't in the room when these guys had their little conspiracy. But they hadn't set it in place. So how, you know, it's really hard to figure out the main thing here is because of that, of you know, when the abomination is set up, because I wasn't in the room. But it does say, from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. Now, that implies that someone is going to know what the term daily sacrifice is. Do each of you that are listening right now, do you know what the daily sacrifice is that is listed and described in the Old Testament in 5 or 6 different locations? You get a little piece here, a little piece there, and then you go, wow! Well, the daily sacrifice was a requirement for certain individuals, not all of the Levites, but a certain group of Levites, and they had to do certain things every day. The daily sacrifice is also known as the continuous offering. It is not and was never considered a sacrifice. This was a responsibility and a duty so that individuals would know what time it is. Anyway, the Levites, they had to make certain astrological measurements. They had to measure when, you know, when noon was. They had to measure the north-south attitude of the sun relative to its setting or rising on the horizon. They had to make observations of planets. They had to make observations of one of the moons. Now, whether they knew, I'm sure they knew, but I don't know how they made the observation of the second moon here on this planet. Uh-oh, did I bring up another one? There's more than one moon. Sorry, it's outside the scope of this today. They also had to eat a certain meal, noon and at midnight, a certain specific meal. Plus, at noon and at midnight, they had to light a special candle. Now, this candle would burn from noon to midnight and from midnight to noon. Must have been a very, very unique candle. Must have been a very, very unique process to make a candle last, 9 hours in the Lord's time or 12 hours in our current pagan time, way we keep time. And so that was what the daily sacrifice, which really should be called the continual offering, and they wanted to put in the word sacrifice so that everybody would be dummied down and want to think about blood rituals and blood running all over the place and say, oh, that was a bad thing to do. No, they were just eating some nice sheep, having a nice salad, some unleavened bread twice a day. Okay? So, that is what the daily sacrifice was. Now, once you know what that daily sacrifice is, it now becomes a sort of a, hunt and seek. We're going to go hunting now. When did that get taken away? Well, due to my background as a youth, I was familiar with one single big candle in the Catholic Church, and they only lit it once in a while. And I said, I wonder if that big candle had anything to do with that daily sacrifice. So I went into the history of the Catholic Church, which we should probably call the Universal Pagan Catholic Church, if we want to be correct. And pagan, I throw that in there. If you will remember, it's Universal Catholic Church. You get UCC. You get all these Whigs out there in the Patriot community want to teach everybody how to use the UCC. It's amazing. Well, the Catholic Church did take away the daily sacrifice. And it's in their history books. And they had a council. And this council lasted from 665 through 685. 685 was the year to travel. They didn't have jet planes and railroad cars and automobiles. It took a while for people to get to the location. But a lot of guys got there kind of early, and that's when they did their political discussions, who's who. That's when they did their drinking. That's when they did their whoring, if you really want to get down to the exact term of what they did, their participation in debauchery. But they opened in 666. Now, A.D., ladies and gentlemen, through the history of man, when they open a council, and whatever work they do during that council, it's attributed, the completed work is attributed to their actual opening year. Isn't that amazing? 666. Now, you all get I've saved you the time. All you've got to do is go look up this council, hunt down where they said, you're not allowed to light this candle twice a day. You can look in this council and you can see where it forbid anybody from having this special meal every day. You can further go into history and you can see where this was the splitting of what was known as the Eastern and the Western Catholic Church. You can further track history through the course of wars. And many people that are very scholarly about what caused what war at what time, and they all say it was this particular council because it made people go ballistic. They said, we've been doing this for centuries, keeping the daily sacrifice, the continuous offering, and we aren't going to take your snot, Rome. You're full of it, Rome. And that became the basis in many historians' analysis of war in the world as to why there became so many wars. You got your verbalization about this. You've got some facts. And now all you have to do is go look up and say, wowee, that's when they took away the daily offer. Now we move forward into our verse 11, and it says there should be 1,290 days. Now, if you want to consider that a 24-hour day, go right ahead and find out that you can add that to 666, and you get nothing. However, if you will take and use that 1,290 days and assign a value of 1 year to it, you would add it to 666. And you come up with 1956. So what happened in 1956 of great importance? Well, did you ever do, a lot of people have computers. Did you find out that in 1956 was when they formally said, we have now completed the hard drive of a computer? It made a computer a working, operating control entity to do something. To provide control. Now we will go into verse 12, and it says, blessed he that waiteth and cometh to 1,335 days. Well, if you read that and you keep studying it, maybe it'll occur to you to subtract 1,290 from 1,335. And you will get 45 days or 45 years. And then you may add 45 to 1956, and you get 2001. And what occurred in New York in 2001? Was it called 9/11? Could that possibly have been one of the first of the seven thunders? Was it the first one? Was it the second? Well, golly, it never says what the seven thunders are. Am I going out on a limb and saying, could this have been the first or the second or third thunder? I don't think it's too far out on the limb. I can't tell you it was the first or the second, but it was definitely a thunderous noise that was heard. Could have been like one of the trumpet sounds. There is nothing in the world that is a coincidence, according to the CIA. And yet I've just thrown together a stack of 1,335 years of an apparent coincidence. Maybe what I'm talking about is time also. I would hope you would consider this. Now, going back to 1956 and the hard drive of the computer, they also began a major push in this country right about that time frame, not exactly that time frame, to get everybody to have a social security number. Now, wow, in our society today, if you don't have a social security number, you can hardly get anything done. You can't buy insurance. You can't have a credit card. You can't have a checking account. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of items in our society that you cannot participate in through buying and selling because you don't have a social security number. So what are we talking about? Well, we're moving back to the book of Revelations, and it says the buy and sell clause, he that has the number or the mark or worships the beast. That's what we're talking about. Now, your Social Security number has 9 digits. Your zip code has 9 digits. Now, you may only think that your zip code only has 5 digits because you didn't look up and find out that your specific house or your specific apartment has that extra 4 numbers. But that's 9 digits. So we have 9 plus 9 equals 18. Now we take 6 plus 6 plus 6, and that equals 18. Ah, another one of these coincidences. And if you don't have a zip code, guess what? you really wind up not having a residential address, and you don't get to buy and sell either. And that zip code locates you physically right there to your exact location. They know where you are. They know what you live in. They know how many rooms and how many baths are in your house. With your Social Security number, they know everything about you. The IRS keeps records, and, of course, NSA keeps records, and they verify, you know, whether or not you had a hemorrhoid operation, whether you had teeth filled. They know whether you what you like to purchase. They know your propensity for going to certain athletic events. Blah, blah, blah. They have every profile that you want to dream about on you through your Social Security number. That's how they control you with that 1956 date. I find this so absolutely simple that I cannot even comprehend why everybody hasn't gotten it a long time ago. I've been talking about this for, I don't know, 15 years. Now, I wasn't able to talk about 9/11 15 years ago, but I was talking about the Social Security number and the zip code saying, hey, everybody's got it. Everybody's using it. It's the one thing that everybody has the same, and they give it to you when you're a baby now. As soon as you're born, you get your Social Security number, and you get a zip code right then. You get the same one wherever your mom and dad live. I don't know how to make this any simpler, except to tell you that if you've got a Social Security number and a zip code, you have the number of the beast. I did not say that as the mark of the beast. I said that is the number of the beast. The mark of the beast is something different. It's real simple. The mark of the beast is your signature certified, notarized by a corporate government, witnessed by a corporation. In the old days, guy had to have a contract. They'd say, make your mark. Guy said, I can't sign. Well, then make an X. That'll be your mark. No one had a corporate seal stuck to his mark. Wonder why I don't have state of Arkansas notarizations. I have Arkansas, the state, that is not a corporate entity. But you go do something, and you have to have that. Or you go ahead and you sign a piece of paper that says, under the penalties of perjury. Same thing. I just heard the beeps. So that means in about 60 seconds, we're going to be going to the bottom of the half-hour break. This and all of these shows are at freedom-school.com, and you go to the link to my name, Jerry F. Kirk. James down there has been doing a very diligent job, and, I'm supposed to have said that at the beginning of the show, and I always forget because I'm not a practiced radio individual. Be back at the end of the break at the bottom of the half hour. Thank you.
Problem's just a toy balloon. They'll be bursting soon. They're just bound to go pop.
Oops, there goes another problem kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem kerplop.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
I just talked with one of these elite the other day, and he told me the latest of everything the elite have planned for the world for the next 2 years.
Shocking. This DVD, Tragedy, Hope, and Reality, the latest title by Lindsay Williams. Our production team at First Amendment Radio has condensed Lindsay's three DVD set down to a single DVD presentation.
So I'm going to tell you right now, up front, everything that I feel will impact your life in a major way in the next 24 months.
2.5 hours of the most important details of what the elite have planned for America and the world.
Within 2 years, he said, you will not recognize the United States of America.
Will you be ready?
And here is the part that startled me more about anything that he said. He said, war is planned. And he told me where it's going to be.
Will you even believe it?
gasoline will remain the price it is right now until we have war. You're going to be paying $4 to $10 a gallon overnight.
First, you must see it. Two copies, one for you and one for you to give away when you send a support donation of $20 to First Amendment Radio. Use the chip-in event on our website or send $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. Make copies and give them away. A wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. Tragedy, hope, reality. Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use. And then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide, starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and I do offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. And this is the gathering offering, and this is week 24 of a 26-week course. And I haven't said this for a while. It should be obvious to people who listen, though, and the fact is I don't sell anything, I don't charge anything, and I do not accept monetary donations. I haven't said that in a few weeks. I want to make sure people understand this is not a patriot-for-profit type of deal here. Returning back to the book of Revelations in chapter 13, verse 18, it says, here is understanding, for this is the number of a man. Well, did you ever wonder which pope it was that set up in the year of our Lord and came up with something like 2010? When the Lord's time is obviously given to you in jubilees, weeks, years, months, and days. That's the entire time thing of 2010. That's the number of a man. Lots of numbers to it. And 2010 of them. Now, I want to move forward onto, you know, I hit what the mark is. Now, I want to move into chapter 8 of the book of Daniel, verse 2. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass, when I saw that I was in Shushan, in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. Now we're going to come back to that verse. Then, in verse 3, I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. Did you look in New York City, and one of the buildings was higher than the other? And did you notice that the highest one came up last? It was actually completed last. And it was a rather tall building. Now, when 9/11 went down that morning, I was having coffee, and I saw Katie Couric come on and say, "Hey, we think a small plane's hit the Trade Center." Well, as soon as that happened, I got on the phone, and I called four or five people I know and said, "Turn your TV on and give me a call tonight." The individuals were discussing with me, and one guy said it was this, another guy said it was that, and so forth. And finally somebody said, "What do you think it is, Jerry?" And I said, "That's Daniel chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. I had no doubts. Now, I did not know ahead of time it was the Twin Towers that were going to be knocked down. I didn't know that then. Didn't know it. Now, I'm going to return to verse 2, which is in the province of Elam. And he was by the river Ulai. Did you ever think to go look up an old map of, say, the Iraq, Iran, Persian area? Did you ever think to look up that river Ulai? Did you ever think to look at the name of that river and that there are two rivers that flow into that river? Did you ever think to look at those two names of those two rivers and see whether or not they mean north, east, south, or west? Did you ever think to then go back up to New York and take a look at the names of the rivers, like, you know, they got a couple names of the rivers, and say, well, what do those names that they've given and told us, you know, like the Hudson River and stuff, what does that mean in mariner's terms? Does that mean north, east, west, or south? Did you ever think to do that? Well, you probably ought to do that. You might be a little surprised. You might even want to try and take like a, you know, an overlay of that Ulai River on your old map, and you might want to take it to the exact same scale and lay it right over the same scale of up there in New York and say, wow, it almost kind of like fits exactly like a puzzle. Guess there's no coincidences, or this is just a very, very strange coincidence. Now we move over to Daniel chapter 8, verse 19. And he said, behold, I will make thee known what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the same appointed time the end shall be. Well, that's kind of hard. Verse 20, however, says, the ram which thou sawest having two horns. Oh, now he's reverting back and talking about verses 2 and 3. Are the kings of Media and Persia. Well, isn't it astounding that Media is the old name for Iraq? And what happened right after 9/11? They went to war with Iraq, and it's been destroyed. And let's see. What about Persia? That was Iran. And they've been trying to destroy them, and everybody keeps talking about they're going to have a big war over there pretty soon. I don't doubt it. It's right there in the book of Daniel. There should be enough of what I've verbalized here for each of you to say, you know what? We better do some study. You know what? We better take... and we better start paying attention to our own individual lives. We better ask ourselves a real strong question here. Do I really want to have a Social Security number? Do I really want to have a zip code? And is the computer controlling this? Well, let's take a look in the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. Verses 16 and 17. In verse 16, for by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. So he's going to plead with you by fire and sword. That's sort of like death, bad times. And the slain of the Lord shall be many. That's an awful lot of people going to get killed. Verse 17. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the mist. Well, most people aren't going to catch that because they haven't studied what Christmas is, and they really didn't study chapter 1 of Isaiah talking about pagan feast and pagan appointed times and pagan holidays. And then eating swine's flesh. Whoops. Now, could that mean all the dietary laws? And the abomination. I'm going to skip that right now. And the mouse. Wow. Let's see, in the latter days, and if we're in the latter days, do we have a big problem? People run around eating mice? I haven't seen a lot of mice in the grocery store where they've got them, you know, 10 mice for, you know, $3 on special. Go home and barbecue a mouse. Haven't seen that being a big problem. Well, if we take a look in scriptures, we find that the word mouse occurs 2 times. The first time that the word mouse occurs, when you read the verse, it's unequivocally a rodent running around. The second time that the word mouse occurs, it is in this book of Isaiah. Now, if you'll look up that word number and read mouse, you will see that it refers you to the previous listed word. And says that the word mouse comes from this previously listed word, the word right above where it says you what a mouse is. And it's an exercise that you really need to do. You need to read where it says it's a gnawing, spider, web, network. Those words are kind of not in that exact order. But you'll see those words there. Now, let's see. Do they have a web out there? Is it a sort of spiderly, people get into using a computer and it kind of grabs them and they spend hours and hours and hours surfing the net? They're kind of stuck in there. Wow. And people wonder why, you know, I refuse to have a computer in my house, and they say, well, Jerry, you're kind of a hypocrite. You have a computer that you're putting information out on. Well, yeah, I'm trying to reach people, and I'm trying to tell people, get rid of your computer. Get off of there, because without your computer, if you don't have a Social Security number and a zip code, guess what? You're not going to be allowed to be on the Internet. Now, is the computer okay if it's not attached to the Internet and you're just using it to work and everything? It's just like another tool. But if you're hooked to the Internet and you've got Internet service, you're controlled by the beast. And they know what you buy and sell. You got these people on these radio shows, and I really can't find any network that doesn't have somebody that sells gold. Oh, well, great. Would it be a good idea to have some gold and silver? Sure. But do you think it takes anybody, do you think anybody cannot hack any computer? You're wrong. There are people who can hack any computer. So, you know, you save up, you buy $5,000 worth of gold, and you buy it on your computer. Well, the government's got a record. Hey, Billy Bob's got $5,000 worth of gold in his house because he bought it on a computer. We got the records. It's just absolutely incredible to me that people do not see the way that they've been grabbed by their Social Security number and their zip code. Now, let's see. I wonder if there's anything about a computer in the book of Revelations. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in the late 90s, it was admitted that they have mated baby brain cells to silicone chips, and that they use these tubes with some protein fluid that goes into these new style computers. And then there's these tubes where waste material comes out. Of course, that's kind of far-fetched, isn't it? But let's see. Now, you get on the phone and you call your insurance company or your bank or whatnot, and a computer talks to you. And it tells you what to do. Do this, do that. Do this, do that. And if you don't do what they say, guess what? They hang up on you. It's a lie. It's speaking to you, and you're talking back to it. and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Worship. Worship means to obey and follow the rules. When I worship the Christ, my master, I obey and I follow his rules. I don't pay him lip service. That is not worshiping. That's being a hypocrite. When you worship the image of the beast, you do what they say implicitly, or you don't participate. When I have problems on my telephone, the computer on the telephone tells me, push this, push that. 9 out of 10 times, I don't push anything. I make them think I still have a rotary telephone, and eventually a live human being comes on. Every once in a while, I make a mistake, and I hit the dadgum 2 button or something. And I spend many more minutes getting something done on the telephone than the average individual. And somebody would say, well, Jerry's kind of stupid. He spends 10, 12 minutes making the machine repeat itself 3 times before finally they kick it over to a live operator. Now, I don't get that done every single time, but I try to do it all the time. But I mess up once in a while. Because I really don't want to talk to a computer. And I don't want to worship a computer. You need to look up what the word worship means, ladies and gentlemen. And this has to be a very tough type of lesson for like 99.9% of you that are listening, because each of you has got a Social Security number and a zip code. But I'm winding down, or winding up, depending on whatever you want to call the terminology, with this 26 weeks. It's time now for you to praise and bless the Father and his only begotten Son, the Christ. It's not, yes, I need to continuously do this all the rest of the days of my life. Okay, yes, I understand that. But it's time for you to understand why, Jerry said, he's getting rid of his Social Security number and his zip code. Do you really think I care two toenails about having to go down there and give him $22 a year for a driver's license tag? Or to go down there every 4 years and give them whatever it was, $24 for a driver's license? That's no, because I could care less about that amount of money. It was the fact that I had to be in their system. The fact that I had to use their numbers. You know, only a very, very unreasonable, stupid individual would do the amount of work just to save $25 for every 4 years for a driver's license. That's a nincompoop. It's a nincompoop that says, well, you know, I don't want to have to, you know, have this police officer stop me for not wearing a seatbelt. I mean, why go to all that trouble? You know, you put a seatbelt on, you take it off. I don't like them. But, you know, if I'm in a motor vehicle and I'm riding with somebody else and there's a seatbelt law in that state, I have to put one on because otherwise that other driver will get a ticket. And I'm not going to cause that other individual that hasn't gotten rid of his motor vehicle and turned it into a private conveyance, I'm not going to, you know, cause him to go to court and pay a fine. The reason is because it's the number of the beast. Now, we've heard all over this country about people fighting real ID. Oh, we're going to do this, we're doing this, the government, it'll cost the state of Missouri $200 or $300 million to implement this. Well, let's stop at the beginning. The federal government comes out with the term real ID, and the people that are fighting against real ID, they use that term, real ID. Why in the world can't they say, this is the number of the and mark of the beast? This is worshiping the beast. Why do they have to go right along and use the made-up name, Real ID? Each of you in the next weeks will hear someone on one of the various networks talk about Real ID. Why can't you pick up your phone and be a caller and say, hey, Billy Bob that's talking about your great effort to stop Real ID? Why can't you call it the real name? The number and the mark and the worshiping of the beast. The buy and sell clause that says anybody that does this goes to the lake of the fire. That's called hell. Why do we allow some goofy term to be made up by government, yet it tells us right in the Word of God what it is, and we don't have the gumption to say, no, you can't call this fighting real ID. We are talking about the truth. This is the number, the mark, the worship of the beast. Don't each of us have something to think about? Don't each of us have a way to improve our lives? Now, last week I talked about when the going gets tough, the tough get going, and that the Lord, most likely, in my opinion, is not interested in those that do not have toughness. Do you really think he wants a team of wimps? Is that who he's going to elevate up into his supper? Hey, I could just see this right now. Here's the Christ sitting around and says, I got the dumbest, wimpiest, yellow-bellied sapsuckers off the planet Earth, and I brought them to my dinner. I got a lot of yellow-bellied sapsuckers. Now, that, I'm sure that's what the Christ would say. Yeah, I've got a table full of yellow-bellied sapsuckers. It takes a lot, ladies and gentlemen, to put your head together and wrap your head around this and say, I ain't doing this. I'm going to lay up heavenly treasures. I'm not going to lay up earthly treasures. And I am sick and tired of my earthly treasures when they cast me, cause me to be cast into hell. This is like as strong as I can get to each of you. If I could grab you by the throat and get you 3 inches from my eyeballs and froth at you and shake you and whoop you, I'd do that too. I would do anything to get each of you to stop participating with your Social Security number and zip code. You go back and you listen to this verbal. You go back and you do the homework that was suggested to you in this offering. And you tell me that I'm wrong. Because guess what? I got the facts and I got the history right there to show it to you. And, of course, you know, it's just all coincidence. Pretty strange coincidence. And you know what? It kind of upsets people when somebody talks like I do. Well, who does he think he is? He's telling me that I've got the number of the beast. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not here to be your bosom buddy. I'm not here to be a celebrity. I'm not here to run a popularity contest. I'm not here to suck up to some station manager or some station owner or some advertising people that can't stand when people tell the hard, cut, and dry truth. I'm not here for that. I'm here to just tell you what I've done and what I've learned. And I've shown you what my methods are. Now, I am absolutely terrified of the penalty that the Christ will impose if I fail to do what I'm talking about. I am, otherwise, most people that know me say, Jerry doesn't seem to be afraid of going in the courtroom or if he has to get in a big physical fight or anything, you know, he's not afraid of rattlesnake, blah, blah, blah. But I am terrified of standing in front of my master and hearing him say, Jerry, you're going to the lake of fire. Forever. And I sure hope that you get rather terrified about that thought, because if you didn't see and you didn't hear last week, and you haven't seen this mountain of fire that fell into the seas, and you haven't been staying up to what's happening in front of your eyes, the absolute destruction of probably, you know, most of the Atlantic Ocean and the Gulf of Mexico. You've got somewhere in the neighborhood in the Gulf of Mexico of about 900,000 square miles. Excuse me. 750,000 square miles. 750 square miles, 1,000 square miles, full of oil. You really think we're going to recover from this? Well, we are going to recover. We are being blessed. We saw the mountain of fire tumble into the sea. We are blessed to see the Word of God coming true in front of us. Those with eyes and ears along that coast, and all of those coasts, will flee to the mountains. They will listen to their master who tells them, when you see rumors of wars and wars, plagues and earthquakes, blah, 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 those of you that be in Judea, flee to the mountains. So a certain percentage of those individuals that are being decimated right now with tremendous health problems coming on, they're going to flee to the mountains. And a whole lot of them are going to stay down there and say, no, I got this high-priced boat. I got this real nice oceanfront house. And I'm staying here because I got all my money in there. And then they're going to wonder why they die. Earthly treasures. Heavenly treasures. It all becomes up to you, ladies and gentlemen, which you desire. Do you want to go to the supper, or do you want to go to the lake of fire? This is Jerry Kirk, and this is the gathering offering. I've got two to go, and I hope the next two are going to be a little interesting. And I kind of hope the very last one will really open some people's eyes. I thank you very much for those that have been participating, those that are learning, and I have appreciated those that have called me up and given me some feedback. I have very much appreciated some of the people that have said, you know what, this is opening my eyes. This is providing information. And I know this is tough, but when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Thank you so very much for your participation, and I expect your participation. I expect you to start calling people up saying, why are you using the term real ID? Why don't you call it the mark and the number of the beast? Get your butts in gear. Get rid of your Social Security number. Get rid of your zip code. Come out of Babylon. Thank you so very much.
The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime. Cards, nice and easy, does it. Nice and easy, does it. Nice and easy, does it. Every time, like the man says one more time. Nice and easy, does it.